So our last meditation, which is the meditation just to push us back into the exciting everyday life, which actually is the way back to Jerusalem, hopefully, after the encounter with Christ. I would like to go back to the, you know, my favorite book of the Bible and my favorite chapter, which is Ephesians 4. And if you remember, we used Ephesians 4 for the ascending and descending and the one, and then we're multiple. And so I just want to go a little bit deeper into that ascending and descending. And then just, I'm going to try to put it also together with something else. So we just open the that chapter. Okay, I don't want to go like very long into that ascending and descending. So I'll go directly to the, after the diversity of gifts, when he says, he made some apostles and some prophets and some teachers. And so he says, I'm going to retake it more or less from there. To equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ, so that we may no longer be infants, tossed by waves and swept along by every wind of teaching, arising from human trickery, from their cunning in the interest of deceitful scheming. Now, just highlighting the mature manhood, attaining mature manhood, and also the full stature of Christ. Now, what does that mean, mature manhood and full stature of Christ? Well, that means, in the language of the tornado, the last circle. The last circle, which means also, known also as glory. So in a certain way, what Paul is saying is that we are going up to heaven and back, and then we're sent out of the church in multiplicity and diversity, and then we're brought back to one, and then we're ascending and descending. And it's like, how much should we do that? When do we stop? It's like we stop when we reach the full stature of Christ, the mature manhood, and that is the growth in the tornado. That is what you put together, that mass and the tornado, because I mentioned that before to you. You think that you're going to many masses, but in reality, you're just going to one mass. But in that mass, because of that strange combination between time and eternity that is hard to explain, and it's explained by the church in that little word memorial. Memorial is not that we're remembering the Last Supper. Memorial means that we're entering the mystery, like literally, in reality, we're entering the mystery. So every Mass is kind of a like an understanding and growing in that maturity, like growing in the circles. But here is something new that I haven't told you before. Because there is in our church, certainly an individual dimension, your own encounter with Christ and your personal love to Christ, which is very important. And also the Protestants put a lot of emphasis in it. But for us, there's another dimension, at least as important as this one, which is our growth as a community, as church. So you have your own tornado, but the church also is growing in its tornado. And how does that work? Just imagine that you're looking at a tornado, but from the perspective of God. So from a perspective of lateral perspective, you look at the tornado, you know, like I've put it before, you know, you put the small circles and then you grow in the circles. And then I even played with the direction, because if you put the tornado as if it were time, you put the tornado and it grows like this, and this horizontal perspective also works for your walking inside of the church in time, and then you're growing in your capacity of loving Christ and in the knowledge of yourself and in the knowledge of Christ until you reach your full maturity, the fullness of Christ in you, and then you're just like married to Jesus Christ. You're ready just to jump in into heaven, and then for the first time not come back again. So it's your marriage with Christ. Now, let's see the tornado from the upper perspective. So God is looking at your tornado from heaven and like going to him. Then it would look like this. I mean, if you agree with me, more or less. Right? You see that? So you're growing in the tornado, and Jesus is, and God is saying, seeing how you're getting closer and closer to him because of your growth. But from the perspective of God, it's not your tornado that he's looking at, but he's looking also at the tornado of the person that is next to you, and then the tornado of the person that is next to those, and then this tornado of all. And these all are people that are in the grace of God, because the tornado is to be in the grace of God. So we're still not speaking about those people who are not in the grace of God, but that God loves also. And in a certain way, even non-Catholics, through the prayers of the church and through a mysterious way, this tornado is going to pull them. I mean, that's our prayers. We pray actually on Good Friday. Do you remember that in Good Friday we don't have a mass? We have a service. And the service is divided in three parts. There's a liturgy of the word. Then there is a liturgy of the cross, when we unveil the cross, like step by step. And then we have the communion proper, which is not a mass, just the you receive communion. And in the liturgy of the word, we have the famous petitions. I'm sure you remember these petitions because it's when the deacon says, all rise, we kneel, all rise, we kneel. Sometimes it's the only thing that we remember of those petitions. We don't know what the petitions say, but I remember, oh yeah, this is where we all rise and kneel like 1,000 times. And so what those petitions actually say is that we are praying first for the church, and then for all Christians, and then for all those who believe in one God. So you see, it's getting further away. For all those who believe in God, who have faith, then for all those who don't believe, so even the atheists. So there's no one in the realm of humanity that we're not praying for. And this is Good Friday, like the most sacred day of the year, because well the most sacred day is Easter Sunday, but I mean it's the Triduum. It's the most sacred period of the year. This is Good Friday. So if we just take that misguided belief that once members of the Catholic Church had, that is, it's just the members of the church are being saved. So if you are a Buddhist, well, I'm sorry, but you convert or you go to hell. There's no other option. And it's like, so the argument is, how can we pray for everybody on Good Friday if we know that they're going to go to hell anyway? Like, of course not. So the liturgy is telling us exactly what we believe. We believe that every person is called to be saved, but we also believe that they're saved through the Catholic Church. That's when they don't like us. You say, oh, you're very proud that we cannot be saved. We can only be saved through the Catholic Church. And I say, it's not that it's pride or anything like it. It's just like the tornado is an opening of heaven. And the tornado happens during the Mass. So the source of the tornado just doesn't happen that you're wherever and it comes to you. So all the graces of all sacraments come from an opening in the heaven that Jesus did through his sacrifice on the cross. And it happens in the Mass. The Mass is the source of the tornado. And the tornado is the way, it's the gateway, the tunnel that leads you directly to heaven. So everyone that will be saved anywhere in the world
in anywhere in time, in anywhere in their beliefs, will be saved, if they will be saved through that tornado. And the tornado is constituted by Jesus Christ himself, but also by the people, the souls of the people that are surrounded by that tornado. So God doesn't save the world without you. He really takes your friendship very much, very seriously. So once I said that, you see how this tornado, these tornadoes are getting together. So, and actually it's good that they're together, because if I am spinning with a tornado around me, I could just think of a dance, or just think of the work of a clock, you know, the little, the clockwork. So if I spin, I help you also to spin. And the faster I go, the faster you go too. And it's like, it's kind of a rhythm. We're dancing together. And then we're setting the rhythm. We're helping each other to grow, because our tornadoes are interacting. Now, the thing is that when you put together all those tornadoes, because there's so many, and you look to those tornadoes from way high, you will see it as if it was one single tornado. And that one single tornado is what we call the church. So this big tornado is a church. And the very famous wedding of the Lamb, I'm sure you've heard that expression, the wedding of the Lamb. The Lamb gets married with the church. So the bride, like big T-H-E, the bride, is the church. So the big wedding, I mean, of course, it's a big wedding, your wedding with Jesus Christ, and it's also important. It also has that dimension. It's also true. But the big wedding that we're all waiting for is the wedding of the bride, which is the church. And we're all like, they're attending the bride and all happy for the wedding of the bride. And then the bride goes to Jesus. It's a very mysterious way, but it's the Psalm 45 that you took correctly for yourself. It's me in the Psalm 45. That's great. But it's principally, it's talking about the church as a whole. And so the beauty of this bride that is adorned, even in the Psalm, you can see it's adorned by pearls and precious stones. Just think of emeralds, and it's white, but it's shiny, and it's so long and so beautiful. It's because of your sanctity plus the sanctity of the other one. So we're all making beautiful the church through our sanctity. We are making the church beautiful. And then the more we grow in that tornado, it's like we're pushing the tornado of the church. The more we grow, the more the church grows as a whole, which is wonderful, because sometimes it's like, oh, there's so many incoherences with the church, because the church says this and the church act like that. Well, the church is also growing. The church still doesn't know its full name. And so as you are merciful with yourself, you have to be merciful with the church, because the church is your tornado plus other tornadoes. Now, if the Lamb will wed the church only when the church reaches its glory, so its glory meaning its greatest circle, that means that everybody has to reach its greatest circle before that wedding comes to place. So your wedding with the Lord can happen very soon. I mean, if you're ready, and I'm not wishing that to anyone, but if you die on your way home, I'm just like, not really wishing, but if you're ready, then you go to heaven and you wed the Lamb. You don't even have to go to purgatory. You're ready. So it can happen now, no? But the wedding of the Lamb is waiting until the last one who is in the tornado reaches its fullness of grace. It sounds like, oh, it's going to take forever. I mean, it's going to take more, like still 100,000 years more. Well, actually, no, because in the eternity, it's already happened, because God is beyond time. No, God has his times. But don't think about that. It's kind of complicated.
Even for me, it's kind of very complicated. And so the thing is that the beauty of this is another confirmation that the plan of God is for the weak. Because we want the weakest here to grow to its strongest point, because it's good for us all, because then it's the end of time. Then it's thy kingdom come. His kingdom will finally come, because we, the church, has reached the full stature of Christ, the full maturity, and then this world will just go away, fade away, and the new world will come. So the interesting thing about this is that even if you're the strongest tornado, the biggest circle of all, you're not worried about, okay, the important thing is that I get there. No, the important thing, of course, it's important that I get there, but I, with my strong tornado, I have to worry for those who have weak tornadoes so that they can grow too, because if not, we're not getting there. We're getting there together, or we're not getting there. Which is something that I always liked about the mentality of U.S. military and all those. I think that the great majority, I'm sure it's not 100%, but the great majority of the Congressional Medal of Honor recipients, they receive the Congressional Medal of Honor because they didn't leave their mates behind. They went and got them, because it's like, okay, I need to save as many as I can. And we have many witnesses of that. And in a certain way, that's what we have to do too. You cannot leave anyone behind. Because, okay, you're going to be saved, you're going to get there, but you're just going to be waiting for the final coming of Christ. Even in heaven, you're having to wait, because the smallest has to come. That, I think that's very beautiful, and that's very comforting, that Jesus is not leaving anyone behind. He's waiting for everyone that has to come. And you can also read that in the Revelation of St. John, the altar of the Lamb is uncovered, and then the martyrs are underneath the altar, and then they say, when are you going to avenge us? And it's kind of a spooky scene if you think about it, no? It's like there's the altar, and then you wake up, and then there are the martyrs there. Oh, no. It's like, I'm sorry. You shouldn't have seen that. And then, when are you going to avenge us? And the Lamb answers, just wait, be patient. You don't have to wait very long. Just be patient, because the fullness of your brothers has still to be, there are still more coming. And only when that is full, when you've reached the number, then it will come, no? So it's a hint of this, that the tornadoes have to grow. The tornadoes of everyone have to grow. So once I said that, we understand better what it means when Paul says, to equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ. So this ministry for building up the body that Paul is talking about is what we call apostolate, that's what we do. But then it's not apostolate, it's just doing things. It's like very, very intentional what we're doing. We're trying to help others to grow in their tornado. And if you're not helping others to grow in their tornado, it's not apostolate, it's not ministry. Apostolate is precisely that. To help people to growing sanctity, or putting it in another words, that is actually the way that I normally talk, is like bringing people closer to Jesus. But now you know what it means to bring people closer to Jesus. Bringing people closer to Jesus is as they really, through the tornado, they're literally getting closer and closer and closer to Jesus, because they are growing in their capacity of being loved by Christ, because God wants to love them totally, but they're still closed. And then you're helping people to open up. Jesus loves you. With other words and in other contexts. like the limit, there are no limits to ideas on how to do this, how to open up people. And that's also the beauty of your own personal tornado. You do that by spinning. Actually, you do that by spinning in your tornado. You open up people, but each of us has a special spin, you know? Okay, now, if this tornado comes through the mass, how does it come through the mass? Well, it really doesn't start in the mass. It starts in the Trinity, because this is sharing in the life of the Trinity. And I mean, it's kind of hard to explain it, but I'll try to explain it like this. Imagine Little House on the Prairie, and then you live in Nebraska, and your husband is Michael London, and and then you have, and now just use your imagination, you have three girls, three kids. And after a day's work, you are with your husband in the kitchen, and then you look out of the window of the kitchen and you see your three girls play. And they're playing like taking hands, like the three of them, and then just try spinning. Well, they're singing, but they're spinning. And then they just start going faster, and then they just going faster. And then you can see that the girls are getting nervous because the speed is increasing and you feel the pull. And then, you know, their faces are starting to get red, and they're starting to laugh. You know, they're starting to laugh this nervous laugh. It's like, ah. But they're really having fun. Actually, the adrenaline of the girls is rising because of their speed. And they're just, all of a sudden, they're laughing so loud and so wholeheartedly that then you and your husband are just starting to laugh too. And it's like, it's kind of contagious. And then you just hold to each other tighter. And then one of you says, well, isn't this great? This is the reason why we came here for. It's like this joy, this incredible joy that these girls are experiencing. That's what life is all about. That's kind of your thought. Just, we live just for this instant. Just for this instant, everything was worth it. Now, those three girls are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they were so happy in their interaction that they just wanted to share. So they didn't just send that tornado, that spinning of theirs to Earth through the mass, but they're hoping that in the attraction of the tornado, when they go back, when it comes back to heaven, they can open the circle to grab you as well, so that you're dancing with them. And then another one, and then another one. So heaven is like a big dance. And even the Greek Catholics, you know, with the Byzantine side before they split, no, but they loved this idea of perichoresis. You can even look perichoresis on Google if you want to go deeper into it. But perichoresis is a Greek dance. Actually, it comes from a Greek dance, and apparently it's these three women, or more than three women, but this in case three women, that they have a monochromatic dress. So one has a green dress, the other one has a red dress, and the other one has a purple dress or an orange dress. I don't know, but it's three colors. And it's a long dress that it's kind of wide in the lower part, so that when you spin, it's really a circle. It just moves like a circle. And they hold hands and they dance. And so they dance around each other. So if you look to those three dancers from upstairs, it's a very beautiful, because their three circles make actually one circle, and their colors combine into one new color. It's like very beautiful. They still do it. There are this perichoresis dances. And then they say that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are in perichoresis. I mean, that's how the Greek fathers explain it, like the fathers of the church. So Gregory of Nyssa, Gregory of Nassians, St. Basil, so big columns of the church explain that. It's perichoresis. And also maybe in your churches you have seen the three fish that interact with that as a sign of the Trinity. Or sometimes it looks like drops, like three drops, that is one after the other. And so imagine that spinning, and that's like the tornado. It's like that, the whirlwind that comes out of it, and then it just goes down, and it just takes you in exactly in your humility, in your soul, and that's where the tornado starts. And that tornado was desirous to go to earth. And the moment in which it went to earth was the moment in which a soldier, in the tradition they call it Longinus, he pierced the side of Jesus. And from his side, water and blood came out. And so in that moment, grace came upon us. We shared his life in his blood. And he attracted us to himself, and water for the baptism. And so that was the exit of the tornado that was in the Trinity. So that tornado comes through that wound, and it comes in the Mass. So basically, this whole process is happening in the Mass. So you're bringing people to the Mass, and then once they're in the Mass, those people are growing in their tornado. And since the tornado and the Mass are like kind of one thing, I mean, it's like the interior of the tornado. And for what I told you about the offerings that you're bringing your whole life, but bringing your whole life means everything that you did with Jesus during the day, cooking, driving, shopping, everything, in a very mysterious way. Just be careful who you're sharing this with, because they might just tell that I'm a heretic and then they say me out. But in a certain way, everything that you do in a mysterious way, you do it in the context of the Mass. You are Eucharistic persons. And all your works in the grace of God, are works of the tornado and are works of the Mass. So when I say to my brothers, the other fathers, that we're actually living in a Mass, they just get angry with me. It's I don't know. It's my fault. I need to explain myself more clearly, but they don't have the patience to listen to my spiritual exercises. So I'm just like, you have to come to my spiritual exercises. So, okay. Now, so I'm inviting you to think about yourself as a member of the body of Christ, which is not new to you. But I don't know if you are a hand, if you are a toe, if you are an eye, if you are an ear. I don't know. You don't know. But so I'm just inviting you, just imagine that you are a drop of blood in the body of Christ. Just that. Imagine that you are a drop of blood. Now, you're out just trying to give Christ to others, doing the ministry that Paul is speaking here about, but then you get tired. You run out of gas, literally. I don't know if that has ever happened to you. But then, and so when the blood goes to do that ministry, that the blood actually refreshes and heals the body. So where the blood does not reach, it becomes dead tissue. So the blood is life from that point of view. But and then it flows through the arteries. And then when the blood gets tired, so to say, goes back to the heart through the veins. And so the veins bring back the blood to the heart. And then they move to a part of the heart where they get pumped, this blood, this tired blood gets pumped from the heart to the lungs. And in the lungs, the heart receives a push or like an injection of oxygen. That's why it goes to the lungs. So the blood breathes. It's like it's renewed. It's red again, like really red again. And then it goes back to the heart, and then because the heart is a pump, right? And then it's pumped back to the body. And then it comes back, it goes to the heart, it goes to the lungs, pumped, heart, out, in, heart, lungs, heart, out. Boom, 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 boom. That's the rhythm. That's the rhythm. And that's exactly what is happening to you in your life when you go to church. Like, you go to church, you receive the Eucharist, you go out, you do your ministry, but you get tired. You don't have oxygen anymore. You go back after 7 days. Of course, it could be more often, but you know, it's the seventh day, is the day of the Lord. You go back after 7 days. Boom. You go back to the heart. In the heart, you go to heaven because of the offering, the ascending and descending. Well, that's the ascending and descending from the heart to the lungs, from the heart to the lungs. Okay. So you go to the lungs, and what happens in heaven? You are before the altar of God. You see his face. You get pumped. You go back down, and then and the priest says, "Ite misa es," which means go. Your mission has been given to you. The mass is ended. Go in peace. Boom, you go to enrich the body of Christ, and then you come back. And so that's the life since you are a baby, actually since you're in the womb of your mother, that's happening. And then you are born, and then that's happening. Then you're 4 years old, and then you're 13 years old, and then you're 20 years old. So you're growing. And the constant rhythm is boom, 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 because that's what's happening. Well, that is what Paul is saying in the letter to the Ephesians, that is happening with the body of Christ. It's growing. We are not in the perfect church now. Maybe it's teenager. Maybe she is 30 years old. But she is growing in the circles. And so, when you go out of this retreat, when you go out of these spiritual exercises, that is to do ministry, like you are going to touch parts of the body, and then you're going to bring back not just you, but hopefully more blood, because the bigger the body, the more blood it needs, and the more developed are its members. So you bring more blood with you to the heart, and then it gets pumped again. And of course, the members that you're sent to as a drop of blood are the people that are closer to you. You're not going to be pumped to China. You're going to be pumped back to your house with your husband or with your siblings or with your mom or with your dad and with your children or with your neighbors or with the people that you like, the people that you have in your heart, the people that you're going to call, the people that you're going to text. That's what you're called to oxygenize, to heal, to bring life to. So that's what we do. And normally I would end here, the meditation, but since we're going to have in the Mass two associations to the Reinium Christi movement, I wanted just to say, in this context, what is the Reinium Christi movement? So what is the movement and what is the Reinium Christi movement? So we all do this because we go to the Mass. The important thing is always to go to the Mass. And now you can see how central the Mass is for our life. Our life is the Mass. And so the Protestants need to get that because if you don't have the Mass, I mean, you can have good things. But Jesus told Nathanael, you will see greater things than that. You will see the angels of God going up and down the Son of Man. But when you drink water, the water goes from the stomach to the intestines. And then I'm not sure if it's in the big intestine or in the small intestine. I'm really not sure. If one of you is a physician, you will know. There's a part of the intestine called the jejunum. And so the water is just like taken, like sucked by the body through the jejunum into the stream of blood. And so that's the connection with the blood and the water. And the water takes as much water as the blood stream takes as much water as it needs to keep the pressure, the right pressure of the blood. So if the blood is not reaching out very far away, it needs more water so that the pressure can go higher. Or if it's having problems because it's like the, here's something like going like, you know, when you if it's too much, then it takes less water and so on. But the water is very important to pump the blood. So let's just say that Random Christy or this movement, but I really certainly know Random Christy is the water that just goes into that stream to give it a push so that they can really reach out, and then they can find the right pressure. And that water is connected with Jesus Christ on the cross when he says, "I thirst." It's poor Jesus, really, because of course he was thirsty, because he was losing so much blood that his body was not getting the blood that he needed. And so when he says, "I thirst, I want water," he's actually saying, "I want blood." And he's actually saying, "I want to live." When he says, "I thirst," he has this wish for life so that those members of the church get some blood because they're not getting it. It's like, "Jesus, don't you understand that you're about to die? Just give up." No. He won't give up. He wants till the very last moment that those members, which are you and your family, get blood. And therefore, he says, "I thirst." He needs pumping. And that water is charity. Charity is the one that helps the blood go through. Care, love, the love that comes from God. That extra, that almsgiving, that it's not philanthropy from man to man, but it's like God wants to give. It's that water makes the blood reach out where it has to reach. So that's an image of understanding what are you invited to. You're invited to, in Random Christi, I'm speaking especially for those who will associate in the Mass today. You're called also to be water. You're called to love and to give charity needed in the body of Christ. Another image of Random Christi is that, so if we are in the Mass and I say as a priest, "Go, your mission has been given to you. The Mass is ended, go in peace." So you walk out of the chapel. And people in this parish walk out of the chapel, and in the other parish walk out of the chapel. Now, just put all the chapels of all the world, of all times, walking out of the chapel. I mean, even if you think of the Falls of Niagara, it's not as spectacular as people coming out of the Mass. It's spectacular. Just put them together. It's huge. It's incredible. It's like drops of blood like that make a waterfall like 10 times bigger than the Niagara Falls. It's more than that, but just think 10 times bigger than Niagara Falls. I haven't been to the Niagara Falls, but hopefully I will someday. And so 10 times bigger than Niagara Falls. Now, imagine, and this is a little bit like making money out of everything. Imagine that you put some generators that take all that pressure of all that water. How much light can you make? How much energy? It's huge. It's the transfiguration of God. It's like totally shining bulbs everywhere, because you just take all that energy of people who are bringing Jesus Christ. You just, okay, on your way out, you just pass through my turbines and let's make some electricity. And then you connect that to the passage of the Bible when it says, you are the light of the world. And a city in the mountains cannot be hidden. So Reign of Christi is those generators. You put them there and you just switch on the body of Christ, so that everybody finds Jesus Christ splendid and they know that's where I have to go. That's the lighthouse. And that lighthouse is the Mass. That lighthouse is Jesus Christ himself. So we're setting the world on fire, and you are. And this was the meditation just to connect you with everyday life. And I think that's a good way to connect you with everyday life.